Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
This is our second conference tournament preview episode. I hope you're liking the changeup, by the way. Just an occasional one. When I'm opening, it's not Parrish and same old there. I'm Matt Norlander. I'm joined by Kyle Boone on this conference tournament preview. We are going to talk Pac-12, as we'll get to in just a second. If you have not already listened to the Big East tournament one, well, you can wait until after you listen to this one or watch this one. If you're watching on YouTube, welcome on back. We appreciate you. Do hit the like button. Feel free to comment. Highly appreciative of you. We're trying to get to 5,000 subscribers as soon as possible. I don't know if we can get there by Selection Sunday, but maybe by the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. We'll wait and see on that. We're going to talk to Pac-12. KB is here. Kyle Boone. Pac-12 tournament. Details, here's what you need to know. Wednesday to Saturday in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. Title game will air at 9 o'clock Eastern on Fox on Saturday night. So it'll be the Big East tournament into the Pac-12 tournament on Fox on Saturday. And well, it's an intriguing league. We got plenty to touch on with this conference because it's a watchable conference tournament, but some of the reasons aren't necessarily a good reason why it's watchable. Before I cue you up on the question to lead off this episode, Kyle, great to have you. How you doing, bud?
I am doing well. I am very excited to talk about the Pac-12 with my friend Matt Norlander this fine evening.
Now, what, without giving away maybe your talking points, real quick, why are you excited to talk about the Pac-12?
Who wouldn't love to talk about the Pac-12 on a Sunday night? This is just fantastic. But just a tease, I'm excited about UCLA, a team that I picked, I think, at the preseason to go to the Final Four. I am hoping that will ring true. Arizona has been on a tear. Colorado has been red hot. There's some intriguing storylines out there with this league. It's not a strong year for the Pac-12 overall, but I think there's some intriguing. If you're a hoops head and you've been following the season, the Pac-12 is definitely pretty interesting to follow going into the postseason.
All right. So as we record this, and we're doing this on Sunday night, it's going into the feed on Monday. But transparency, obviously, the Pac-12 has not put out its all league team. The Big East had for the Big East episode we did. Pac-12 is going to put its out on Tuesday. And oh, by the way, an aside, Pac-12 is not the only violator of this, but it's the worst. It will put out, unless something has changed behind the scenes and I'm unaware, and I would love to be wrong, it's going to put out a 10-man first team. This is a joke. It's happened for years. Pac-12, I'm begging you to stop. Just do a 5-person first team. The Big East does 6. What are we doing? 5 people. 5 people on a first team, please. I'm begging you. So with that in mind, here are the 5 best players in the Pac-12, according to KenPom. 3 of them play for Arizona. Azulis DeBellis, Ben Mathurin, Christian Coloco. And then Washington's Terrell Brown and UCLA's Jaime Jaquez are the other 2. So that's your top 5 per KenPom. 4 more names who I think you're going to see on that Pac-12 all-league team when it gets released on Tuesday. You'll have Johnny Juzang of UCLA. You'll have Colorado's Jabari Walker. And I would think that both Drew Peterson and Isaiah Mobley of USC are going to be on that list. So those are 9 names to know. With that in mind, top storylines. KB, it's right to you. Biggest storyline of the Pac-12 tournament, in your opinion, is?
Yeah, I've already spoiled it. I think it's UCLA. If you go back a year ago, remember, they were one of the last into the NCAA tournament. After going 1-and-done in the Pac-12 tournament, and they subsequently made a run to the Final Four. This year, they entered the season as a pretty obvious league favorite to win the Pac-12 and have been somewhat overshadowed, I think, by what's happened at Arizona. So UCLA, to me, I think is the biggest storyline and the team that I'm watching, besides the obvious Arizona, to figure out what they're going to do as the top seed. The Bruins are a projected 4 seed right now on Jerry Palm's bracketology. This is as of Sunday evening. I think they're a team that no one is really going to want to face in March. And I feel like they are pretty well equipped to really put up a fight in the postseason. And we saw that last season with Johnny Juzang kind of catching fire and Jaime Jaquez. And that team just really, they got hot at the right time. They made a run to the Final Four. I feel like they have similar potential, if not even higher potential this year. It hasn't been, you know, maybe like a perfect season for them. They've been a little inconsistent. Obviously, we have them projected right now as a 4 seed. So they're not the hottest team in the Pac-12, but I do still think that this the ceiling on this team is very, very high. And for that reason, that is why I have them as my top storyline to watch as the tournament starts this week.
The thing I would expand on that with UCLA is it's still banged up. So despite having some injury issues, can it maintain its status as a Final Four threat, right? Because I think it probably needs to make the Pac-12 title game to remain in that conversation, regardless if it's on the 4 line, 3 line. And if it doesn't take a bad loss right away, like it kind of feels like UCLA might be destined to the 4 line. But can it, you know, despite being a somewhat lower seed, you're not a 1, 2, or 3, you're a 4. If you're a 4, normally you're not considered a Final Four threat, but because UCLA did it a season ago, preseason top 5 team, we know it's got the roster to do it. I'll be interested on that. Other storylines to watch. To me, the biggest one is Arizona chasing a 1 seed and maybe needing to win the Pac-12 tournament to do it. Well, now again, nothing happens in a vacuum. Important to remember. Sometimes your results alone, unless you're in a position of authority, so to speak, like Arizona, if it wins out, yeah, of course its results are going to dictate it. But if you lose, doesn't necessarily mean you lose the spot on the seed line where you were. Depends on what happens around you. Arizona right now, as we head into the Pac-12 tournament, here's where it sits overall with what it's done in its resume. It's second in the net, 28-3, 5-3 in quad one. Gonzaga, by comparison, 8-3. Just to get a sense on that, Baylor's got 11 quad one wins. Kentucky's got 8. Even Villanova, which isn't going to be one seed, has 7 quad one wins. Now, Arizona's only lost there in quad one. 9-0 in quad two, 6-0 in quad three, 8-0 in quad four. And Arizona has played more quad four games than anyone that's in the mix to get a 1 seed. So that's why I kind of believe it's conceivable that if Arizona lost, like if it took a bad loss, maybe it's in danger of losing the 1 seed. If it gets it, by the way, Tommy Lloyd will be the third coach ever to go and be a head coach and get a 1 seed right away. First season as head coach. Previously done at Indiana State in 1979, and it was done in 1998 with North Carolina. And we'll see if Lloyd can do it. So that's one to keep an eye out for. Kind of a fun one. Mick Cronin absolutely refuses to not wear suits. And him being, is he going to be the only one in the conference tournament situation? Yes or no? 11 other coaches, head coaches. Is Cronin the only one rocking the suit and tie?
Yeah, I think so.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. He's just defiant. It's almost like this is the job where John Wooden was. I'm not gonna disrespect the man or Nell. Love it.
Yeah, I love it too. My final. I think I agree with you on the Arizona and their chase for a 1 seed as a storyline. That was second on my list. The third one I would throw out here, and I know I was only supposed to pick one, but is there an Oregon State this year that is unlikely? If you remember last year, they were 10-10 in Pac-12 play during the regular season after being picked 12th in the preseason poll. Ended up winning the Pac-12 tournament. Just like a magical storyline, ended up making a run to the Elite Eight, knocking off Oklahoma State along the way. I think it's possible that there could be an Oregon State this year, and we'll probably hit on that here in just a few minutes. But that is something to watch this year as well. I think the Pac-12 in particular is conducive to that, just because of the strength of the Pac-12 outside of, you know, UCLA and Arizona. Probably isn't what it is in other power conference leagues.
Two more. So absolutely. We're going to get to that. And you might be onto something. We'll see. So two more. One is tournament adjacent. Andy Enfield, you know, how viable of a candidate is he at Maryland? Is this, you know, I don't have any intel saying this is going to happen, but occasionally you'll have a coach having a good season. And this happened with Pearl in the middle of the season, but you'll have it like in March where there's some noise behind the scenes. Maybe this coach is a real viable candidate, another job. And then into the inbox lands a press release from the university. We've we've restructured Coach X's contract, and now he's signed through the next 7 years at this price, et cetera. USC wouldn't do that because it's a private school. It won't release the details on that because it doesn't have to. Do we get that this week? I don't know if we do or we don't. Andy Enfield has a great job at USC. I remain skeptical that he's going to wind up being the guy at Maryland. But frankly, I'm saying that on March 6th. And by March 22nd, that situation can change in a big way. He took this team to the Elite Eight last season. We'll see if he can do something similar this season. So again, not a storyline tied to the tournament, but maybe we get a little more noise talked about that as we move along. And then the last one, the Pac-12, by the way, how about this? Talking about jobs, the Pac-12 is bad, dude. Obviously, it's disappointing. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Only three teams are NCAA tournament locks. No one's on the bubble. Okay. And yet it's a bad down year for the Pac-12. And I don't know if we're going to have a job change. Wayne Tinkle restructured his deal last year at Oregon State. That's not happening. Utah just hired Craig Smith. I've been told Mark Fox is safe for at least one more year at Cal. It's a 12-19 team. Stanford was the one that's got some people curious, but I was making calls on that. It doesn't seem like Jared Haas is now. Stanford's dropped five in a row heading into this thing, but I've been told he should probably get another year. Again, anything's possible. I wouldn't be stunned, but it hasn't been indicated to me that that's going to open. Arizona State, AD already came out and said Bob Hurley's not getting fired. The only thing with Arizona State is if a job of some, you know, decent renown, a power conference job opens on the East Coast, would Hurley choose to chase that? That may be Washington. Hopkins is safe. There was some like preseason buzz, but I've never bought that. Buyout number's been too big. Sources told me that Hopkins would have had to win like four games this season. He should be good. Dana Altman's obviously good. Kyle Smith of Washington State's good, and Tad Boyle. So oddly, ironically, you have this just underwhelming year for the Pac-12, but it really might not result in any coaching changes whatsoever. Okay. There are no, this is the section where in the Big East one, we talked about teams on the bubble. There are no teams on the bubble. Arizona's a one seed right now. UCLA is a four. I'd have USC on the sixth line. Everyone else is playing for the auto bid. So there's nothing even discussed here. This segment's done. Move on. In the past. Forward. Boone. Now let's talk bid thieves. Schools that apply, 11 of them. Literally everyone not named Arizona, UCLA, and USC qualifies as bid thief potential, even though in reality, there's like four or five of these that have no shot. Real quick before you give your school, if you think it's Oregon, the Ducks are directionless and have lost 6 of 8, 18
it's
and 13.
Oregon. No.
Okay. Yeah. Washington State was a preseason trendy pick. I actually had them as like a first four going to Dayton team back in the preseason. It wasn't just me. They were chic, but no. It's 1-4 or 5, but I don't think so.
I think Arizona's, there's really only one answer. Okay. I continue.
Might be two. I know.
Okay.
I know. Yeah. I'll bring them up both here and then the floor is yours.
Okay.
Arizona State's won 7 of 8, only loss at UCLA, and has a top 25 defense in the country. Colorado has also won 7 of 8, only loss to Arizona State. Mm-hmm. So I would think your pick is going to be the Buffs.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely Colorado. If the bracket breaks as expected here, they could face all three of Oregon, Arizona, and UCLA in potentially running and winning the Pac-12 tournament. They've already beat Arizona during their recent hot streak. They've beat Oregon once this year, and they've given UCLA two pretty good fights. Now, both of those were losses, but I think the way Colorado is playing right now, they could probably take on UCLA and it would be pretty close. I think it'd be like the line would be like UCLA by three or something like that. So it's a pretty even matchup. I kind of feel like it's kind of like Oregon State last year. Like sometimes it's about just finding a groove at the right time. And I feel like Colorado is the second hottest team in the league right now. That's probably not even disputable behind Arizona. So yeah, that would be my pick is Colorado as the most likely bid thief out of this conference.
You're looking at the bracket right now. If you're watching on YouTube and you can see, obviously, again, starts on Wednesday and it'll go through Saturday there. Man, I think this can be a fun tournament later, and we'll get to that when we talk our tournament matchups for the final. But look at that first round. I mean, there's Arizona State Stanford in the 8-9 kicks off the tips off. I gotta stop this. I said kicked off on the Big East as well. Force of habit. What do you want from me? Oregon State. That's the 5-12. Again, Oregon State went to the Elite Eight last year. Oregon State went to the Elite Eight. They're going to let them play in this tournament, by the way. They're going to let the Beavers in. I commend them. Has not won a game in the year 2022 of our Lord. They beat Utah. Hold on. Boone, they beat Utah on December 30th and were 1-2 in the league, and they've lost every game since. This team is 3-27.
So bad. Yeah, they're really bad.
So that's the 5-12. I mentioned this on a previous pod and it was in the court report. Like, it's not even close. The previous team that had the worst record the year after making Elite Eight was Boston College in the 90s when it won 9 games. Oregon State will win 3. It's probably not beating Oregon. But if it does, look out. And then you got Washington State Cal 7-10. That's actually mildly intriguing for like a hardcore like myself. Wazoo, Cal, all right, maybe. Maybe I can get into it. Dabble, maybe. And then Washington, Utah, 6-11. It's just, that's a rough, there's no getting around it. It's a rough first round there. The quarters could be pretty decent. We'll see about that. All right, so we both agree. Colorado in that 4 spot, yeah, because it should be able to get, now, could Oregon mess it up? Sure. Oregon could be Colorado. We'll see. But then if they can take out Arizona, maybe there's a chance. Tad Boyle's a quality coach. Everybody knows it. Got Colorado to the tournament last year, and then 2 years ago, they would have been safely like in the field, single-digit seed, had we had a tournament there. He's taken the Buffs to 5. It would have been 6 if we had a 2020 tournament. So no stranger there. Colorado is a 20-plus win kind of team in most seasons under Tad Boyle. They got Walker, as I mentioned before, Evan Batty, Keyshawn Bartholomew. They got some good pieces there. So I'm with you. I think that's possible. Okay. Title game. Who you got? Who versus who? What teams are playing on Saturday night for the Pac-12 title?
It's going to be UCLA versus Colorado.
Oh, you are going there.
I'm going there. Yeah, I'm going there. Okay. I'm riding the Jabari Walker train. Jabari's averaging 16.6 points, 10.5 boards, and shooting almost 42% from 3 during the second half of the season. And Colorado, they're just really solid. They've won 7 of their last 8. One of those was over Arizona. I kind of feel like they can do it. So my actual pick to win it is UCLA, but I do think Colorado can make the run and go all the way to the title game.
UCLA wins it, and then who's the mop? Who's going to win the most outstanding player on UCLA's roster?
Yeah, I think it's Jaime Jaquez. He's been really good of late, really solid. Scored 17, then 30, then 27 during UCLA's recent 3-game winning streak. Kind of emerged as UCLA's go-to guy here down the stretch. Johnny Juzang was the guy last postseason, obviously. I think he's still kind of returning to form, and Jaquez has kind of taken the torch and ran with it. So if UCLA gets hot, and you mentioned they're still a little bit banged up, I think it's going to be because Jaquez just continues this hot streak and just kind of puts UCLA on his back down the stretch.
Yeah, if he can do it. Jaquez also seems like he's maybe battling stuff too. But yes, that's certainly the potential for that is there. Arizona is going to be my pick to make the title game against UCLA. Arizona has the most Pac-10/Pac-12 conference tournament championships. This league did not start playing a conference postseason tournament until 1987, only did it for three seasons, and then it went on hiatus until it returned permanently in 2002. Arizona has seven of them, and it leads, and I think it's going to get its eighth. I will say this. Now, you've got Colorado there. Of the six
Chalky.
Big... Yeah, well, how about this? Of the six big conferences, KB, to me... Think about it in your head real quick. Roll it off. To me, the Pac-12 feels like the most likely conference tournament to have a 1-2 situation in the title game. Arizona's the one. UCLA is the two. Think about the other ones. Agree? Providence is the one.
Yeah.
Nova's the two. You think like maybe UConn break through if someone beats Providence? We did that bet one in the Big East. Look at what the SEC is. It's got depth. ACC, sure, with Duke. Rest of that league could be a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right.
I did pick UConn to win in my Jerome picks, but
I gotta get those in, by the way. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you better get those in.
I gotta get them.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I was thinking about the Big 12 with Kansas and Baylor. Just the way that league is playing right now. Yeah, that's probably right. I think UCLA and Arizona being in the title game, it's chalky, yes, but it almost would be shocking or very surprising at the least if that is not what the title game looks like.
I'll go Arizona over UCLA.
Dig it.
Lloyd gets to the one line, makes history, continues his push for National Coach of the Year. And I'll say Kirk Creasa, who was not on the KenPom top five and wasn't on the next four of players list that I told you that you might be in there. Give me Kirk Creasa.
Ooh,
to
long
win.
Shot.
Yeah, maybe he just goes off. Vegas, Kirk Creasa. No player carries more swag and attitude. He's already been that dude this season if you followed college basketball, men's college basketball. But we're about to hit the big time here. And listen, he can be streaky, no doubt. But I hope Tommy Lloyd gives him some serious leash here. I need Kirk Creasa, like, smack talking dudes in this tournament, in the big one, make them be an anti-hero, you know, give us that star on a potential one seed. I think that would be pretty great. Let's kind of,
this is meant with respect here, but
yes,
he does have some Grayson Allen to his game, like just some swagger, just some confidence, just like a guy that if you're playing against him, like, you've got to be just so annoyed, but he's just fantastic to watch. Like, he's just a captivating player. So yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's a good pick.
One more note on Arizona before we close up.
Yeah.
I feel like when I watch Arizona at its best is up there, like top three, top four in the country. Gonzaga, Duke, Arizona. I'm talking like top end. And probably Kentucky. I think those are the four. Like, even above Villanova, Auburn fans, I hear you. But I would say those four. Would you agree? I mean, it's second in KenPom right now. Narrowly ahead of UK. But, like, Mathurin, man, how do you not love his game? He is just dynamite. And then Chubelis is damn efficient, shooting 59% from the floor. Just your quick thoughts on Arizona as an outfit and in what they have in terms of, NBA talent potential.
Yeah, I feel like Kirk Creasa is kind of like the embodiment of kind of what Arizona is. They know what they are as a team. They play with so much confidence, like so much swagger, to where, like, when they're really rolling, like, they're really, really hard to beat. So definitely like top three teams with like the highest potential. That's why they're obviously on the one line right now for Jerry Palm. That's why they're probably going to get a one seed in the NCAA tournament. I think the other teams that you mentioned probably are in that mix too. I would put Kentucky over them, but yeah, I think they're definitely in that mix. It'd be interesting to watch. This is Tommy Lloyd's first run in the postseason, and they've been really, really good this season.
They've been really good. I think they're good enough to win a national championship.
Yep.
And I kind of get the sense that this might be their chance to make a humongous statement heading into the Selection Sunday. And by that, I mean, yes, they've been great all season. They've been highly ranked, plenty discussed on this podcast. I've written about them multiple times, all that. But once you get into March and the general sports public really just starts paying attention more, I could see a situation where Arizona wins this conference tournament by an average of like 19 points is on the one line. And then people are looking at this team with a bit more respect and enthusiasm than they are as we speak heading into a conference tournament. KB, thanks for hopping on. Next time you do one of these, it's going to be with Parrish. Which conference you got with Parrish? What's the other one? What else you got on?
Probably the Big 12 is my guess.
I think that's probably. You'll talk Big 12. It'll be fun.
Yeah, this was good.
If you have not already liked this video as you're watching on YouTube, please be kind enough to do so and continue to subscribe and rate the podcast.
Smash it,
absolutely, as we get ready to roll into conference tournament season. This time of, like, the tournament, the NCAA tournament is great, but I'll be honest, the conference tournaments are what truly made me fall in love with college basketball. I've told this story on the podcast before, and I won't go long on it because we'll keep these short, but I used to call out sick from middle school because I wanted to watch the ACC tournament and the Big East tournament during the day. That's what made me want to, like, just get all in. And the NCAA tournament was great, but I don't know what it was. I don't know why, but it was just the conference terms, the amount of games. You got all these teams. It's so many of these teams are playing with their seasons on the line. Now, obviously, that's the case in the NCAA tournament, but there are just more teams, and it's more localized because it's your conference, your region, your opponents, your enemies. I love it. We've already got auto bids clinched as we record this. We got three teams into the field. More to come all throughout this week. So big conference, small conference, whatever. It's here, man. Best month of the year. How exciting.
Norlander, there are a lot of very good college basketball writers out there. A lot of them. I could make a very long list. There is a reason you are the best college basketball writer out there. It's because you love the sport. You're so obsessed with it. And no one else just, like, geeks out in the way that you do. No one does. Gary,
I don't know about that, but you know, it's an enthusiasm that comes from a natural place. That's all. So
it's the best time of the year. I love it.
It is, absolutely. This has been Kyle Boone. I'm Matt Norlander. Thank you for listening to the Eye on College Basketball podcast. We will have more conference tournament previews coming quite soon in your feed. Be on the lookout for them. If you're enjoying these, absolutely be sure to go and also rate the podcast on whatever service you have. If you can leave a review, please do that as well. We want to expose this to as many people as possible so they can get in and have the fun that we hope you have as you continue to watch and listen. We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.